and waiting for every believer in Christ rejoice in its promise and share its hope with others. Revelation chapter 4. Go ahead and take a look at heaven here. It says that after I saw this, or Revelation 4 chapter verse 1 is where we're going to begin at. It says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat on the throne looked upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which were the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf, and the third beast had the face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Amen? That's heaven. You guys excited? I'm excited. It says the book of Revelation gives us a picture of heaven, what heaven is like. Or heaven is where God is. The throne of God is the central feature of heaven. You know, that part kind of made it interesting to me too. Just that thought, right? The throne is the central part of heaven. You know how like cities and neighborhoods and things like that were created? The church was created and then everything was formed around it, right? And we see the same thing in heaven. That's awesome. I wonder if God just kind of implemented that in us, or if there was something that somebody took from that, maybe this verse or what, when designing neighborhoods or what it was. But it's an interesting thought. Anyways, it says, around the throne the 4 creatures are stationed. Their work is to give glory to God. They will say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. In a bigger circle around the throne, the 24 elders have seats. These have 2 special features. One, they have white robes. They are some of God's redeemed people. 2, they have crowns. The crowns are mentioned in the New Testament for faithful believers. Having already received their crowns at the judgment seat of Christ, they are present in heaven for worship of Jesus the Lamb. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the light of the glory, in God's glory, heaven sparkling and shining beauty will be dazzling. John's vision of Christ compels us to consider his glory and power. And when John looked into heaven, he saw Jesus. Revelation 5:6 says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. Who is the lamb that had been slain? Christ. Amen. Jesus, right? Says that, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. It says, the worship of Jesus and the Lamb fills heaven with the sound of his praises. Revelation 5:14 says, and the 4 beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. More than anything else, heaven will be where Jesus abides. Amen. And where Jesus abides, there's going to be worship. Amen. There should be worship, right? Because, I mean, that's what our whole purpose here is to seek and save that which is lost, just the same commission that Jesus had, right? He came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to help the sick and help the poor and help the needy, right? He came to show them his power and who he was as God, and he left us with the same commission, right? Go ye therefore teach all nations. What are we teaching them? teaching about Jesus, teaching about his power, about his Godhead, about his salvation. Amen. He left us with the same thing to do. And when we get to heaven, we're going to have the fruits of that, right? Because we're going to be redeemed, and we're going to have everything that he has for us, and we're going to be able to praise him face to face. Hebrews 9, turn with me there. Hebrews 9, verse 23, says, "It was therefore necessary that patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." I wrote amen after that. Amen. That's awesome, ain't it? Appear in the presence of God for us, right? Man, it's awesome. It says in verse 25, "Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as a high priest entereth into the place every year with blood of others," right? Christ isn't a sacrifice that has to be slain every week, right? He isn't a sacrifice that has to be slain every Wednesday or every Tuesday or every time you want to have mass, right? He's once and for all sacrifice, praise God. Verse 26, it says, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Amen. Amen. It's a whole good just passage right there. A lot of stuff in it. So heaven contains the pattern of things that God gave Moses for the tabernacle. The earthly tabernacle had animal sacrifices. The heavenly tabernacle has the Lamb of God. In Abraham's day, God provided himself a lamb in place of Isaac. True to his promise, Jesus was identified by God, by John the Baptist, as the Lamb of God, right? And John, I think, 1, right? He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, right? Which shall take away the sins of the world." It says, after living a sinless life, Jesus offered himself on the cross to shed his blood and give his life as a substitutionary sacrifice for mankind. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again after 3 days and 3 nights. For 40 days, he showed himself to be the risen Lord and then ascended to heaven, right? People don't really always remember that part. Like, yeah, Christ died and he rose again, but he walked around for 40 days. Amen? Showing himself, he said he was seen of many. And, I mean, he did works in front of people. And, I mean, he showed himself to be God, right? He rose from the dead. Says in Acts 1:9, says, "And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of the sight." When Jesus returned to heaven, he returned the place that is filled with his glory. I wonder what heaven was like without Jesus there. Like, for that time that he was here, but really he was there too. So it's kind of, it's interesting. Heaven's witness of Jesus the Lamb gives a great testimony to the finished work of Christ. Jesus' blood was applied in the sanctuary in heaven. His precious blood purified the things in heaven. As the high priest in Israel went once a year to on the Day of Atonement to apply the blood of the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, Jesus entered heaven to fulfill that work. His blood applied in heaven opened the way for God's redeemed to enter there. The writer of Hebrews wrote, "Nor yet that he should offer himself often." Christ was not to be crucified again and again. His sacrifice was to be once for all, to put away the sin by the sacrifice of himself, as it said in verse 26 there. So heaven's testimony is that Christ's sacrifice completely finished the work of redemption. Amen. Amen. A lot of good stuff there. I mean, it's the fact that Jesus' blood was applied in heaven. That's what allows it to be applied to us. Amen. Since Jesus left heaven to make a special appearance on earth as a prophet, also Jesus the prophet spoke of the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Matthew 24, 1 and 2 says, "Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him and showed him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." His prophecy was 100% accurate. He also prophesied of his own death, burial, and resurrection. Matthew 12:40 says, "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." The Bible records that Jesus totally fulfilled this prophecy. In his last great message before the cross, Jesus said, "I will come again," in John 14:3. This prophecy will also be fulfilled, amen? Until the time for Jesus to come again, he abides in heaven. Jesus returned to heaven to fulfill his role as our high priest. What kind of priest is Jesus? He is merciful. He is faithful. He has applied the blood in heaven. He has the ability to offer comfort to those who are tempted. He ever lives. He is the only mediator between God and man. Amen? That's our priest right there. That's our high priest. Amen? That we're able to go directly to God. That we don't have to go to some other man or some other person or go through some other, we can go straight to God through Jesus. Amen? It's good stuff. That's a feature a lot of people don't believe that they have, right? The priesthood of the believer, they don't understand that they have that, or don't know that, whether they're not saved or they would have that. But anybody who gets saved, anybody ask Jesus to save them, if they repent of their sins and trust in what he did on the cross, dying for their sins and raising again, we have that priesthood and a believer, right? We can go straight to God by the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen. Says he is the only mediator between God and man. Hebrews 4:14 says, "We have a great high priest that is passed into heavens, Jesus, the Son of God." Where is Jesus today? Hebrews 8:1 says, "We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven." Amen. Jesus will come to earth again to complete his work as king over all. He will return to earth as a conquering king. Revelation 19:16 says, "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." When considering the glorious return of the Lord Jesus Christ to earth, no earthly king could compare to his power, honor, glory, and majesty. When Jesus comes back to earth, he will appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Although he had no sin of his own, he took the sin debt of the world upon himself when he came the first time. The second time, he will come to rule as king over all. Amen. Go me to Isaiah chapter 14. First time, Jesus came to become our sin. This time, he's going to come to become our king. Amen. Isaiah chapter 14. Verse number 12 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt the throne above God, or above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount in the north of the congregation, in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou art be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of its prisoners?" Says Isaiah wrote of Lucifer, his sin, rebellion, and defeat. That's good. All that right there, right? His sin, his rebellion, what he did, and his defeat. That people are going to look at him, and he's going to be cast into hell, and people are going to look at him, can't believe who he is. It says, Jesus said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven," in Luke 10:18. Jesus was in heaven when Satan was cast out of heaven. this passage reveals some things about heaven. It is above the stars of God. Heaven is above the heights of the clouds. Heaven is a real place inhabited by God and his angels. After Lucifer's sin, he no longer could claim to be one of God's holy angels. Now he's the devil. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And if you guys don't know who Lucifer was, I mean, through your Bible, of course, like, study who he was, right? He was, and then relate that to our sins that we personally struggle with, right? Satan, he was the most beautiful angel there was, right? He was covered in stones. He was also, his body also had instruments in it, right? And so then we also, the instruments, of course, play music. But we look at that, and we look at the sin that we struggle with, right? Beauty, right? Most beautiful angel, right? What do we struggle with? We struggle with lust, right? Amen? You guys with me? Stones, shiny things, lust of flesh, right? We like shiny stuff. We like to buy things. We like materialistic things, right? That's Satan also. Music's horrible. A lot of it is, right? Music actually, it turns people into what they listen to, right? It slowly forms them because that subconscious thought of that music. You see what I'm saying? And these are ways that, I mean, he's been doing it for a few thousand years now, you know what I mean? Being able to use these things, these lusts and this music, and I mean, he draws so many people with that, right? That we don't even know it, right? We think that it's good music. We think that, oh, that stuff's not that bad, but it's all distractions from God, right? All of it, every single bit of it is to lure us away, and Satan's good at it. But that's the part that I'm talking about studying, right? If you study, go ahead and study his doctrine, and you'll see, as it said in Isaiah, I will be like, I shall see, I will. And that's the Luciferian doctrine, is yourself. It don't sound bad if you look at it. Well, that ain't that bad, but there's no God in it. You're God, right? That's his doctrine. John 6. Sorry for that. That's free, though. Take that and apply it. Understand that anything we're drawn away from God is of Satan. John chapter 6, verse number 38 says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." And of course, this isn't Lucifer no more. This is Jesus speaking. It says, Jesus spoke of heaven as being on high. When he came to earth, he left heaven and came down in heaven, and came down. In heaven, God the Father still reigns supreme. In Matthew 6:10, it says, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Heaven is a place where God's will is top priority. That's a strange thought, right? God's will being top priority. It says, when Jesus left heaven to come to earth, he came to do the will of him that sent me. Amen? And like I said earlier, when he left earth, he gave us the commission to do the will of him that sent him. Amen? To do the Father's will, to seek and save that which is lost, that all men might believe. Amen? Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Says, Paul wrote of Philippians, the citizenship of the saved is in heaven. No one will see heaven who is not born again. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Right? We have to be born again. That old man must die. Everything that we're hanging on to now, our sins that we are guilty of, all that has to be cleansed, right? And the only way to do that is trusting what Jesus Christ did on the cross as payment for our sins. Amen? Because if we're trusting something that we did, God tells us all of our righteousness are as filthy rags, right? He tells us there's nothing we can do of ourselves. That the greatest feat that we can do of good works compared to us is filthy rags. It's worthless, right? It's all unrighteousness because it's tainted with sin. It says Paul, in heaven there is a book of life with the names of all the saved written in it. When Jesus comes again, he will come from heaven. When we go to dwell with him in heaven, he will change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Amen. That'll be good stuff. Not sure what that's going to be, but I'm sure it's got to be good, right? Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Now these things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set in the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. It says the book of Hebrews reveals the better way. There is a better sanctuary in heaven. There is a better sacrifice in heaven. The blood applied in heaven is superior to the blood of animal sacrifices. There is a better high priest in heaven. Jesus, the high priest in heaven, has a special place on the right hand of the throne. The word heavens is plural. There is a first heaven where the birds fly. Second heaven is the realm of the stars. God's throne is in the third heaven, right? Think there's nothing outside of outer space? There's heaven outside of outer space. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12:22 says, but you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and God the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. In heaven, the city for which Abraham looked, there is Mount Zion in the city of God. Hebrews 11:10 says, for he looked for the city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The angels of God dwell in heaven. The redeemed people of God have a place reserved in heaven. Jesus, the judge of all mankind, lives in heaven. The names of the saved are recorded in the book of life in heaven. Jesus, the mediator of heaven, is ratified a new covenant with his blood. Praise God. All right, last one. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read that again. We got more to read, but that's a good verse here. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, right? Those that have accepted Christ as the Savior, right? He chose us, right? A royal priesthood. Amen. That's that priesthood that I was talking about. We're able to go straight to God. It says he made us kings and priests, right? And holy nation, a peculiar people, who hath called you out of darkness, or that you should show forth the praises of him, right? I mean, we don't just get saved and sit on a couch or in a church pew, right? We should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into the marvelous light, right? We was headed for hell. Our sins were taking us there. It wasn't nothing we could do. Except trusting what he did. Amen. Verse 10, it says, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which are against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas you speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. It says heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Peter wrote of the people prepared to go to heaven, as a redeemed and holy people, that they give praise to the Lord in the place of a marvelous light, or in that place of marvelous light. Heaven is a place where the mercy of God is a reality to the people of God. In heaven, the good works of God's people will glorify God forever. Jesus said, lay up yourselves treasures in heaven. Amen. And why will our good works glorify God forever? Amen. Why? Why will our good works glorify God forever? Because they'll be there with us. Amen. Because those that we witness to, those that we lead to Christ, that God allows our conversation, as it said, to be directed toward, which our conversation there is our lifestyle, but your lifestyle, the way you talk, the way you represent Christ, as it says you should show forth the praises of God, right? It will be there, right? Our friends, our family, people we witness to, people we testify to, I mean, they will be there. That's where God gets the glory. It says heaven is a real place where God's throne is. Heaven is my throne. In the Acts 7:49, it says he dwells there in the majesty, glory, and power. There are more than 250 New Testament references to heaven. We're going to go ahead and go through them. No, I'm just playing. It says there's a few though. It says there are more than 250 New Testament references to heaven. The Father is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. God the Father spoke from heaven at the baptism of Jesus. Matthew 3:17 says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus left heaven to come to earth to go to the cross. He left earth and returned to heaven. When the Holy Spirit empowered the church of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, there was a sound from heaven in Acts 2:2. Stephen looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God in Acts 7:55. When Saul of Tarsus was saved, there shined round about him a light from heaven in Acts 9:3. God gives an abundant witness of his presence from heaven. Acts 14:17. Anybody counting yet? Acts 14:17 states, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts and food with gladness. Or with food and gladness. The goodness of God, fruit and harvest and rain, gives evidence to the reality that there is a true God in heaven. Luke, Matthew, Paul, Stephen, and others in the Bible gave evidence of their belief in heaven. Heaven is an important doctrine to study because it will be the home of the saved people. Amen? Amen. And it'll be the home forever. Praise God. Man, that's awesome. No house payment. Right? It's already been paid for. Praise God. No property taxes. Nothing. So heaven is an important doctrine to study. And yes, people must prepare to go to heaven. To go to heaven, one must repent and trust Jesus for salvation. In Acts 4:12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other. Amen. Right? No other. There's no Allah. There's no Buddha. There's no salvation in any other. Right? In another verse, God says, I am God and beside me is none else. Right? There's no other God. It's not like he has a fellowship of gods around him and you just pick and choose which God you want to serve. Right? There is none else. It says, neither is there any salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Right? Anybody else, you can save yourself, right? You just do some good works and your good outweighs the bad, or you say this prayer, or you pray to this thing, or that rock, or whatever, and you're saved, right? No. Since heaven is real, your profession of faith should also be real. Paul wrote about the way to prepare to go to heaven. Romans 10:9-10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, that's repentance, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. It says heaven will be a place where the redeemed people of God will see and know God. They will dwell with him forever. Believers will have a body fit for heaven. In 1 John 3:2 it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall appear, and we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Right? Don't know what it's going to be like, but we're going to be like Jesus. Amen. Says Jesus will prepare us for heaven. In Adam, the first man, all have inherited the sin nature. In 1 Corinthians 15:47 says, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. In Jesus, the second Adam, all have the opportunity to be saved. Those who are saved will go to heaven. 1 Corinthians 15:48-49 says, as it is earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as it is heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Amen. The Bible doctrine of the security of the believer teaches that God will preserve believers for a home in heaven. God gives the saved a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in that last time. Amen. Amen. That is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, if you didn't know that. Yes, praise God for heaven. Amen. Praise God, we have something to look forward to. Praise God for sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, that we can enjoy heaven and the redemption of sins just by simply trusting and believing in that, right? By repenting of ourselves and our sin and trusting in what Jesus Christ did on the cross, we get to dwell in heaven forever. Our sins are paid for, amen? Amen. That we're able to dwell with him for eternity. But if we're not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then we're not. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today, God. We thank you for the resurrection, Lord, and that we have a hope of being raised again also, Lord, to walk and enjoy heaven with you, Lord. And God, we just ask you to help us, Lord, to be able to witness to others, Lord, that they may also join us, God. Just pray that as many as possible may be with us in heaven, Lord, and that we may not be okay with anybody going to hell, God, and that you may make this reality to us, that people are lost and people are saved, Lord, and that more are lost than are saved, God, and that you just may help us be good witnesses for your holy name's sake. And praise things in the name of Jesus.